Amen. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for our brother Kenny. And Lord, we thank you for the preparation and, Lord, the heart commitment that this man has for your word. And I pray right now, Father, that you would move upon him, that the Spirit of God would move mightily upon every word that he speaks here today. And Lord, as we study and learn more about the leading of the Holy Spirit, who he is, the operation in our lives and in the church and in our world, we pray that we would have a revelation this morning, a whole new way of seeing this, the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Yes. Father, I pray that Kenny would make that clear to us, Lord, that we would walk out of here today with a whole new understanding. So, Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory and honor for what you're about to do, and we thank you in your Son's Jesus' name, and we all said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, as you can see, we have Heaven's Gate University. This came up because our youngest son, Jesse, has been seeking out colleges and preparing for college. So this is what I came up with, Heaven's Gate University. In doing this, I'd like to take you on a journey. So if you can imagine with me, that's all right. I got backup. Trust me, I know this church. Pastor John has just stolen my notes. But if you can imagine with me that we're going to go on a journey here. Well, the journey that I took and my wife took is that the College Board reports average cost for the books and supplies for 2015-16,000 school year was $1,300. That's just for the books, right? He wants to go into engineering. That's just a $3,000 extra ticket there. Average cost for college, anywhere from $24,000 to $47,000 a year. We're looking for somebody to adopt Jesse at this moment in his life. Any volunteers? None? Pastor John will take him. Jesse, you're no longer going to college. But in all seriousness, we're going to go on a journey here. See this slide? It is formless and void. Just like the earth was in the beginning, right? But the Spirit was hovering over the earth. And when God spoke, that's when the Spirit moved. The Spirit's going to move in our life today. Today he's going to move. I have a song I want to play.
I found your love in the open fields. More than words, more than good ideas. I found your love in the open fields. More than words, more than good ideas. I found your love in the open field. More than words, more than good ideas. I found your love in the open field. From the head to the heart, you take me on a journey.
Heaven's Gate University, the longest distance in the world is from the head to the heart. Taking what we know and turning it into a demonstrable action, something that will elicit change in our lives and the lives of those around us, is true wisdom. The ability to transform knowledge into action is oftentimes quite the hurdle. You guys have entered the largest classroom in the world, largest classroom known to man, Heaven's Gate University. This is God's university. He called it Earth. But he put us here to teach us. Scholarships, they're not needed. Everybody's able to turn around and join Heaven's Gate University. All you have to do is accept the teacher as your teacher. Being as old as Bob, not a problem. They accept him. Yep, he's accepted, he's loved there. It's not a problem. Famous alumni of Heaven's Gate University. Degree in administration, teaching, counseling, parenting, and how to train your husband. She will have been married 23 years in April and still has not gotten her degree in how to train her husband. Joshua Rourke, working on a degree in theology, but has a master's degree in debating you. Laura Rourke, brushing up on her studies. I believe that she has an anointing of Noah, because when she purchases animals, they're always in groups of two. You guys might know this one. AKA Jesse the Body, has a degree in sound engineering. Luckily for me, he still let me use his slide. Right? He can do no wrong in his mother's eyes. Famous alumni, AKA Tay Tay. Degree in social science. We snapped this picture and sent it to her father when we were at a wedding. Said, oh, she's in good hands. I have it down here from my notes. Her boyfriend's parents are awesome. famous alumni Shane and Cassandra O'Rourke. You have a degree in water sports. Cassandra is currently enrolled in How to Train Up Your Husband. Maybe that'll work for her. It didn't for my wife. This is a satellite campus. It's just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, where no expense was spared for the farm turf, dish soap, and garden hose to create the adult-sized slip and slide. We spare no expense in this university. Famous alumni, here we go. Now we're getting serious. Professor Ray Silva, master's degree in marketplace evangelism, currently on staff at Heaven's Gate University. As Pastor Don said, if you missed the teachings on Sunday, Ray did a fabulous job last week. I mean, it was really, really good. I was telling my wife about it. And there's just something about it, because you miss all the hand movements and the excitement that the person brings if you listen to it with just audio. You have to see it in living color, as Penny would say. It's just different in living color to see Ray teach. I was very blessed, brother. Here's our favorite. A master's degree in verbal harassment and giving direction. That's for you, Mike! That's for you! Right? That's our famous alumni, right? Every college has some, right? But let's get started here. Famous alumni. Jesus, a.k.a. Son of God. Here he is. This is our famous alumni. It says in John 16:7, "But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." How many here would rather have Jesus in our church right now rather than the Holy Spirit? It's one of the same. Jesus in the flesh or the Holy Spirit? It's a tough question. The disciples didn't want him to go. They wanted him in the flesh. But here it is, Jesus' words. If I don't go, it's better for me to go. And as he went, the Holy Spirit came. And that's what we're teaching on. And because the Holy Spirit came, he's able to go wherever we are. If Jesus was here in the flesh, he would be here in the church, and we would be outside of the church. We would not have the Holy Spirit. So as hard as it is, even though he's one of the same, the Holy Spirit was given to us for that purpose, to be able to go into all the world and share the good news. Right? Teachers, those who have responsibility for instructing others, especially in relation to matters of faith and life, in the home, it's the parents. In Israel, it was the priests and the teachers of the law. In the New Testament church, it's apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. Now, you've heard it said, and you probably experienced it, we have many teachers here. Many very good teachers. In order to have many very good teachers, what you have is a student who is wanting to learn. A student that is wanting to sit at the feet of Jesus, to sit at those that have sat at the feet of Jesus. And that's the difference. This particular body, God has put his Holy Spirit here, put it amongst us, that we would be able to take this time today to sit at the feet of Jesus, to be taught by somebody that's being taught by the Spirit, to gain that. Do we need me to teach you? Absolutely not. The Holy Spirit is willing to teach in every one of us and in of ourselves. But we can glean from that that the Spirit has taught somebody else. So we do. You guys have entered into a place on a journey that you could not pay for. You cannot pay for the books. You could not pay for the knowledge, the experience. We've all entered into that. We have that opportunity. Now, I know in the earthly realm, how many here had that opportunity to go to college? They may have had a desire, but they just couldn't afford it. I was one of those. Everybody was going off to college. I'm like, okay, there's no way I'm going to afford that. You know, what are you going to do? And I began even then relying on the Holy Spirit. I said, well, I can't afford books. He said, well, you can afford to go to the library. You can afford to check them out. And that's where that obedience, that action comes in. Do you go? Do you check out the books? I know for us, we're going to be having some bookshelves coming in mid-February up there in the junior youth room. Pastor Don has graciously donated all of his, not all of his books, but a lot of his books, and other people have mentioned giving books, because I really believe there's an anointing on this particular church to be taught by the Spirit, because the Spirit is the greatest teacher we're ever going to have. And to study, to show ourselves approved. As I said, it says the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. This is how my life was at one point. It was dark and empty. Thank God that He was hovering over my life. Thank God that He didn't leave me in that place. Thank God that He led me, actually, to this particular body. And He established me here. Thank God that He gave me enough insight and wisdom to know that He planted me here. Not to be uprooted. Not to think that it's greener on the other side. That if anything needed to change, it wasn't the church, it was me. And this was the place that it could be done. And this is the place that He has done it. And I thank Him for that. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Teach you all things. And when we think about this statement, what is it that He won't teach us? What is it that He hasn't taught us? Did He teach Pastor John how to play guitar? How many enjoy Pastor John when he plays guitar? There's an anointing there. There's something more than just him learning the words on the paper and singing. There's an anointing that comes forth when he does that. That comes forth and it's birthed out of the Holy Spirit. It's not just one of these worldly singers. There's life behind that. And only that can be done through the Holy Spirit. I know in a home group we were talking about Ken Wydick. Your father's not in here, eh? Teaching? There we go, teaching. It's like home group. We have a lot of people one week. Next week we don't. What are they doing? They're teaching. Everybody's out teaching. Nobody's in there to be the student, right? So I have to speak to myself. But I remember he had gotten a promotion recently. And in the promotion, there was a lot of things that needed to be done that were different. He wasn't used to. He starts praying. Lord, teach me what I need to do. Reveal to me what I need to do. Reveal how I need to do this. And he gave a report that everything is going well. Better than they even thought it would go. How often do we find ourselves in that position? We're asking God, show me the issue here. Show me what needs to be done. Teach me how to live in practical matters. All scripture is God-breathed and used for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Right? The Holy Spirit has inspired all scripture. Right? Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. God uses us to spread His message. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Amen? Here we have the practical matters. See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri. You guys want to name your son Uri? The son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in the gold, silver, bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Oholabib, son of Ahishamak, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. God has given us all abilities, skills to use for His kingdom, for the building of His kingdom. There isn't anybody here that he hasn't done that for. Now, we may need to sharpen them. We may need to use them, dig them up, but he's given them to us. We need to allow him to use them. Amen?
Yes.
In the practical matters, this is the same thing. The Lord's chosen them. And it says, tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He even gave him the ability to teach others these skills. How many here have ever taught somebody, Pastor John, for example, has a guitar class. How many has ever taught somebody how to do something that they do? To imitate, to model what it is that they do. Those that put themselves in a place to be taught are able to learn. We need to humble ourselves. We need to find that time to be taught. Now, the hardest thing about going to college, right, if you don't do it right away, you get out of the habit of being in high school. If you take that time off, get a job, and you say, oh, I really need to finish my studies, right, Shane? It makes it very difficult to try to get back into those studies, to finish that. It seems like everything else wants to come in and keep that from happening. That's why we have something basic going on almost every day of the week with women's meetings, men's meetings, Wednesday night, Thursday, afternoon Bible study at different times of the day, morning, afternoon, night. The thing about Heaven's Gate University is open 24/7, 365 days a year. The Holy Spirit has been known to wake you up at 2:30 in the morning to say, hey, I got some more notes for you. You need to write them down. I'm like, really? 2:30? What do you want to do? You want to go to class or you want to sleep? I said, I want to sleep. So I was up at 2:30 writing even more notes down, knowing that I would not get through them. There's no way I could do all of that, but I did it anyhow. He gave him the plans of all that the Spirit had put in his mind for the courts of the temple of the Lord and all the surrounding rooms, for the treasuries of the temple of God, for the treasuries of the dedicated things. He gave him instructions for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, for all the work serving in the temple of the Lord, as well as for all the articles to be used in service. This is the Spirit, this is God giving David all the plans for the building of the temple. God loves to instruct his people. He loves to give them things, plans, ideas to turn into action, to turn into reality, and to use those tools for the building of his kingdom. All this, David said, I have in writing as a result in the Lord's hand on me, and he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan. He enabled him to understand it. The Spirit is able to bring us understanding. He not only teaches us, but, you know, I don't know about you, I was one of those slow ones in school. Still slow. Like, I don't understand. Teacher would explain it, and I'm like, okay, you explain it, but I still don't understand. The Holy Spirit never grows weary of us asking, can you tell me another way, just like Jesus with Proverbs. His disciples saying, I don't get it. He took the time to explain it to them. He took the time to bring understanding to them. I am so thankful for that, that he takes the time in the classroom to explain that to you, that any of you want to stay after, Bob is more than happy to explain this to you. If you say, well, I don't quite get that, Bob will stay. Right, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good Spirit lead me on level ground. In the request here we have, he's looking for deliverance. If you were to read the psalm, a few verses ahead of that, he's looking for deliverance from his enemies. How many here want to be delivered from their enemies? I do. And he's telling them, teach me to do your will. If you deliver me from my enemies, I will do your will. If you deliver me from my troubles, I will do your will. When the troubles disappear, do we do his will? How many here want their troubles to disappear? I mean, I know I do. When they disappear, we're saying, oh, Lord, if my troubles would just disappear, then I'd do your will. We need to do his will, whether our troubles disappear or not. But even more so, if we're saying that, hey, I'll do your will, my troubles disappear, and they do, then you need to be faithful and do it. You gave your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths, and you gave water for their thirst. For 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, nor did their feet become swollen. You gave your good spirit to instruct them for 40 years. That's a short time that he's been doing that for them. He did it much longer for Bob. But you see here that even for his people, for 40 years he instructed them. Instructed them on how to lead into that promised land in hopes that they would enter in. We want to enter into so much that God has us. We want to enter into that blessing. We want to enter into that deep relationship. The Holy Spirit is more than able to instruct every one of us on how to do that. It isn't just going to happen. You're not going to sit here, listen to this message, come back next week, and say, you're not going to believe it. I've graduated. I got my master's now. It is an ongoing journey. You will be led and instructed how to get one step closer each and every time. Each and every time, one step closer, will be led on how to get there through the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah 9:30, for many years you were patient with them. By your spirit you warned them through the prophets, yet they paid no attention, so you gave them into the hands of the neighboring people. So here we have God's people paying no attention to what God's saying. That wouldn't be any of us. Hearing the word and paying attention to the word, paying attention, there's a little bit more emphasis on what is it you're paying attention to. What has captivated your attention? What is it that God is speaking to you? What is it that he's asking? What is it that he's wanting you to do? What is it that he's wanting you not to do? Are we truly attentive? I don't know about you guys, but I can come in on a Sunday morning, refreshed, half hour into the service. I could be dozing off. Be like, man, why am I so tired? Anybody ever get like that? I mean, if we're honest, it's like, wow. I'm not getting this because, and that's, I have to listen to the message on audio because I don't think I comprehended all that God was saying. My mind might have been wandering a little bit here and there. What I was doing before, what I got to do after. But I wasn't really giving my full attention to the word that was being spoken. Thank God. Just like it was written down here for us to read again. Thank God. It's on audio. That we can go back to that and listen to it. And I would really, that's the Spirit instructing you on wisdom, to go back and listen to that audio. Take the 40 minutes. Listen to that audio. Get yourself in that quiet place, that classroom where there's not a distraction, where you can turn around and have that little bit of time to take some notes. I mean, this is the one classroom that you see that the students usually ain't taking any notes. They've committed it all to memory. Or they think that it's just going to happen. The Spirit will teach you, but there's a learning process. There's something you have to do. You have to take notes. Pastor John tried to steal my notes. Now, the nice thing about studying the Word and getting these notes is that as you do that, He's going to take that from your head and put it in your heart so that the Spirit can recall what it is that you've studied. He's going to be able to pull it back out of you. He pulls it back out of my wife all the time. She says, I can't remember that. I said, who am I? She goes, you're my husband. I said, I'm good. That's what's important. The rest of it can wait. It'll come back to you, honey. Don't worry. As long as we're still, you know. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And he adds, their sins and lawless acts will be remembered no more. Head to heart. See, that's the difference. We can get it in our head. Hey, I heard that. That's in my head. But is it in our heart? What does that really mean? What does it mean to get it in our heart? It's not just enough to hear it. I want to get it. I mean, we're spending the time here. Everybody took the time to come, right? Let's get it from our head to our heart. Let's give it its value, its worth, so that it can produce the fruit that he knows it can produce. But it has to go beyond just hearing it. It has to go beyond our head into our heart. We have to be able to get it down in our heart. And he does that for us. He leads us. Trust me, if every one of you said, you know what, this week I'm going to take 20 minutes at the dinner table when I come home to begin to just study a little bit. 15 minutes. At the end of 7 days, you got some time in. Just spending 15 minutes. It's not like, oh, I got to spend all day Saturday studying. There's no way I can do that. But to take 15 minutes and say, you know what? How does the Holy Spirit as a teacher teach me? And just thread that along 15 minutes a day and see where you are after 2.5 hours. See where you are after 4 weeks. Pretty soon, you're not only doing that, but then you're showing somebody else, you ain't going to believe what God's done, what he showed me, what he taught me. It's amazing. I mean, I'm really amazed at how he moves. From the deep things of God to the simple things. There's nothing that he won't do for us. This is a covenant, and I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Amen? In my former book, Theopolis, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit, the apostles he had chosen, after giving instructions. Now, Jesus was mentioned in the Word 60 times. He was referred to as teacher. 60 times as teacher. He was known as a teacher. Sure, he was known as Lord, but he was known as teacher to most of them at that time. Not everybody recognized him as Lord. But they did recognize him as a teacher. But he was recognized not just as a teacher, but one who taught with authority. And that was because of the Holy Spirit that lived and dwelled within him. And that's what we have. The greatest teacher ever known to man. How do we know that he was the greatest teacher ever known to man? He taught 12 people. At the time, 12 close students, one of which killed himself. Is he known because he taught 12 students? Was it 12 that did it? I think some of our classrooms have more than 12 students. Does that make them a great teacher? But see, his teaching through the Spirit went on and still goes on. At this point, billions of lives have been touched because of Christ's teaching. Billions have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but as a teacher too, as the teacher. If you're known as a great teacher, touching billions of people, I don't know about you, that's a great teacher. That's the school that we're in. We're privileged. We're privileged. Let me say it again. We are privileged to have the greatest teacher ever known to mankind. Ever known. We are so privileged, and yet from head to heart, a lot of times we don't take advantage of our privileges that we have. Now that's something to ask. Lord, show me, why is it I don't take advantage of this great privilege that I have of being under the greatest teacher there ever was and is? Why is it that I can't find 15 minutes a day to allow you to teach me the very things that I desire? And for some of us, he may have to teach us how to fight for that. How to fight for that. Because the last thing the enemy wants is you to be blessed. The last thing he wants is for you to believe and understand and know that you are privileged to be in that classroom. Paid in full, tuition, books. Your needs met. He doesn't want you to realize what it is that you have been given. He doesn't want you to realize that you've been able to enroll into that classroom, to study under that teacher, to be with students that have sat under that teaching, that have experienced the transformation of the teaching itself. That it wasn't, as we sung, just words or an idea, but it's real. It's real. I asked my wife, I says, who are some of your favorite teachers? She starts listing some from elementary school, junior high, into high school. I said, well, what makes them your favorite teachers? She says, they were real. I don't know what it is, but they brought the word forth and the lesson forth, and it was real to me. They illuminated that teaching. And then my next question was, how come you didn't mention my name? And she says, a prophet's not welcome in his own house. I'm like, okay. The Proverbs of Solomon. We all know Solomon is probably the wisest person that ever lived, next to Jesus. Son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning. And let the discerning get guidance. For understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. When's the last time we read Proverbs? Man, if only I could move further down this journey. I don't know what it is. Well, there's an action on our part. For gaining wisdom. Well, first of all, I don't know how me reading Proverbs is going to get me wise. Well, if you don't start, you're not going to know. Start, continue to read them, and see what happens. See if God doesn't reveal his wisdom to you. For gaining understanding. And then if you read it and you don't understand it, ask Bob, ask Pastor Don, Pastor John. have somebody else that sat in that classroom, just because they're older, say, hey, because, you know, they'll tell, oh, yeah, I got that right away. What's wrong with you? They didn't get it right away. 4 years in, some of them got it. 5 years in. You might get it right away when they explain it to you. It just looks like they got it together because they've been on that journey longer. They had to put the work in. Trust me, they had to put the work in. They had to put the work in to get where they were. It's not going to happen without putting the work in. You got to put the work in. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, as Pastor John was talking about. Power. With the Holy Spirit and deep conviction, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering, with joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers, Macedonia and Achaia. A model. Our lives should speak for themselves to the world. That we can be imitators of Christ. Because of sitting at his feet, sitting in his classroom, week after week, day after day, gathering that up. You can take a song as simple as what we had played here, and you can meditate on that, what those words say. What does them words mean to us in our journey? In our home group, we have the people pick out a particular song a lot of times, and we'll play it because it's a song that ministered to them at a time or season in their life. And they'll share what that song did for them, what those words did. They brought life. These words here, inspired by the Holy Spirit, bring life. Life. Not just a good idea, but they bring life. And they not only bring life, more importantly, they bring everlasting life. It's not just about being happy for a day, happy for an hour. Oh, that was good. But these words bring everlasting life. You're not going to get that in any of the colleges nowadays. Those words are to get you a skill, to get you a job. Maybe, at best, at 50 grand. I'm like, son, if you're going for engineering, you're going to be an engineer. I don't care what. And that means not engineering the Big Mac at McDonald's. You don't need to spend 50 grand to do that. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Teach and admonish one another. I'm blessed because of all the people that have stepped up to teach. Students that would never say, I'm a teacher. They're like, I'm a student, you want me to do what? Well, I want you to teach. Can I sit in a classroom a couple more years? You know, 4 years? 2 years for an associate's, 4 years? Bob's like, you got to next week and then you're getting pushed out of the boat. You've had long enough. Sink or swim. You'll be all right. Right, Fred? He didn't give you no 4 years, did he? I don't even think he even taught you. I think he just tipped the boat over. Sink or swim, Fred, you're teaching. And wouldn't you know it? Because Fred is a student in the classroom of Heaven's Gate University. That word was brought up through the Spirit that lives and dwells within him. He was able to bring that forth. And I was blessed. Amen. You want to know why? Because it was Fred bringing forth that word. It was the Spirit living in Fred. Yep. And that Spirit is so large to see it from that perspective. To hear it from Fred was so refreshing. Instead of going to the same individual day after day. He uses each and every one of us to share and to admonish and teach one another. each and every one of us. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Fred's faith in God has become known on his job. He's persecuted for it. Fred comes back and says, give me more. Give me more. I'm privileged to be where I'm at. I don't care if they persecute me. I'm privileged to be sitting in this classroom. I'm privileged to know that the words that I hear are truth and they bring life. And I pray for those fools that persecute me because the word calls them foolish. They're fools. For they know not what they say. And I pray that they do one day come to recognize Christ. That they too will find themselves sitting in the classroom, being taught by the master teacher, the master builder. That you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. This anointing was poured out upon us, poured out upon the disciples. The Holy Spirit, as a teacher, it's a gift to empower us to go beyond ourselves. It's empowered us to go beyond ourselves, to do things that we would have never done. Had I known that I'd be up here teaching 20 years prior to this, I probably would have ran like Jonah. But the Lord, in his ways, step by step, led me. He was patient and kind. There again, as for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you. And you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Anybody ever here, being in the classroom of Christ, say, you know what, this ain't for me. I'm taking a semester off. Yep. Take that semester off. Next thing you know, you're sowing those wild oats. Finding yourself doing the things that you did in the past, maybe. And you're like, what the heck was I thinking? You know what? You get to re-enroll. You get to come back. That is so awesome. I'm thankful because I got to come back many times, right, Pastor John? See, I not only when I came back and I stayed at Pastor John's, ate dinner there lots of times. Because I was welcomed back with love and food. Food helped. I was hungry. That's why we have food at most of our meetings. Food helps. Amen. Right? I don't know if Bob would be here if it wasn't food. Would you?
I hope not to find out, brother.
Yeah. Keep the food coming. Here we go. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. I am so thankful to be in Heaven Gate University, where he takes what we've heard in our head and he wants to put it in our heart and produce a passion. And that passion produces action. And that action builds his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We're going to close in prayer. If I could have the prayer team come up, that would be you, honey. See, you go from being a teacher to being an intercessor to being whatever is needed sometimes. Amen?
Amen.
I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to come. Seriously, we need more students, more people wanting to learn, because there's a lot of lost people out there. And we have what it is that they need. We have the truth. I do thank you for all that you do. As Pastor John said, we have more people that serve and get involved and are dedicated and committed to fulfilling that mission of reaching the lost, whether it be here in this church, whether it be across the street, whether it be in other nations. Our commitment has never wavered, and it never will, because we know the truth. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the great teacher, Lord God. We thank you that you did leave, Lord God, and that you gave us that gift of the Holy Spirit to teach us, to always be with us, to bring understanding, to bring wisdom. Father, to bring desire, Father God, to know you, to know your ways. Fill us up, Lord God. Fill us up, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.